Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vambilis, with myself, Letitia Vambili. And of course, I'm never in studio alone. I'm always with the amazing Danny V.
Letitia Vambili. How are you doing, Lady V?
I'm awesome. It's a wonderful day for us in studio. Wednesdays are always wonderful days, but you won't believe what today's Wednesday is.
Today is the Vambilis anniversary.
Yay! Cue in the cheers and the shouts. So we are so excited to be here with you on the morning of such a special day, and we can't wait to have yet more conversations.
Yeah, and we've been married exactly 9 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't you feel old?
No, that's the problem. I actually feel like I'm way too young to have been married this long. So it's kind of contrast.
No, it's such a beautiful thing, you know, to feel. I don't know about you, but it feels like it went by so fast.
So fast. It's like I blinked and one day I was just here. But it's just the grace of God. It's the grace of God.
9 years married, live in studio with you. You are hanging out with the Vambilis. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about not just waiting, but rather abiding. So there's a difference between waiting on the Lord and abiding in God. Waiting often looks like fixating on the amount of time it's taking for something to come to pass, whereas abiding can be defined as accepting or acting in accordance with a rule, decision, or recommendation. So if the Lord speaks a word or a promise over our lives, a lot of times we feel impatient in the waiting and only end up taking time to accept the word. To abide means that we are accepting, we are receiving, and it is important to wait in Him rather than just waiting, because in order to bear the fruits that we are foretold, we have to be connected to the vine. So is it possible that we sometimes wait outside of the vine, still expecting to somehow bear fruit, but the fruits come from the connection with our Lord Jesus Christ?
Man, oh man, I am so excited about today's topic, and we are ready to go in. Nono Pa just said, happy anniversary, fam.
Thank you, Nono Pa.
You know, it's so cool to be walking this journey together. And it feels like we've been abiding.
Yeah.
And the Lord's been reminding us, abide, even in your marriage.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's an interesting one. So all these topics that we are privileged to talk about on the show come from seasons of highs and lows, waiting and abiding within the 9 years. So if you want to get in touch with us and tell us your testimony or give us your opinion, you can always reach us on Impact 103. Our WhatsApp line is 071-364-0376.
Yep, the WhatsApp line is open throughout the show today. If you also have been blessed by the Vambilis and you want to, you know, give us feedback, we would love that. We told ourselves we're going to be in studio today and then we'll leave and go enjoy ourselves. We actually want to hear from you. Stay tuned. One House Worship, just like Jesus. All right, you are with the Vambilis, and oh wow, Letitia, all the messages are coming in. Sandra said, happy anniversary. Loving you loads. From Sandra. Jeanette, congratulations on your anniversary. May God continue blessing your union. You were married 1 year when I met you both.
Jeanette, you've got me feeling so old. When was that? Did that even happen?
And your journey has been so beautiful to witness. Yo, I'm seeing you've seen us grow in size. I specifically. Letitia, on the other hand, still looks like the day where we got married.
Oh, eh? Thank you so much. We've also got a message from Portia who says, happy anniversary, family. Oh, she says, I like how professional you are. You both don't sound like husband and wife. You should tell us what husband and wife sound like. That would be a nice way to start our show today. So if you're just joining us, apart from all the wonderful anniversary messages we keep getting this morning, we're also talking about abiding. Speaking of messages, there's another one that just came in. Danny
says, happy and blessed anniversary. Thank you for your great show and sharing your rich wisdom. Have a wonderful day together. And that is from Shannon. And Portia actually was coming in from Santa.
You know what's interesting is the rich wisdom that Shannon is talking about that comes in when we discuss these topics, that humbly comes in. Topics like abiding and waiting. Danny, in the last 9 years, have you ever had seasons where the waiting process was just really hard on something that the Lord told us would happen, and it starts to just put strain on you or on us or on me?
Yeah, I think many times, and what I love about our topic today is we've had to go from being patient to abiding. And for me, there were just times when I was thinking, God, when are you fixing us up? You know, there's always growing that's needed in a marriage. And, you know, sometimes as a partner, you could be getting the same thing wrong for so long that you're like, but God, when are you just going to fix me? Okay, change me.
That's so interesting. On the show, we often talk about being patient with your spouse and having the same kind of patience that the Lord has with us. But we don't often talk about spouses that mean well, when you can see as a spouse that you are lacking somewhere and you're like, God, but as a wife, I'm just not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
When are you going to do the work in me so that my household can be the promised word that you gave me? So we are speaking on things that we've been through within the marriage, and not just promises of a better life. And we're talking about the difference between abiding and waiting. So I want to preface this by saying waiting on the Lord is not a problem. It's even biblical. But we're just going to talk about it in deeper terms. If you had joined us last night between 6 and 6:30 p.m., you would have heard us start off this topic and what it actually means to abide versus to wait.
All right. So what does waiting look like, Letitia?
You know, I think what I'm going to do is probably start with abiding and just give the definition of that. Because I think with waiting, we have a bit of an idea of what that looks like. It's to anticipate a promise, right? But the way that we wait is not always the same. And I believe, and this is me speaking, to say that a godly form of waiting is to abide. And some of the scriptures do say the word abide. So I want to look at the meaning of the word abide. It means to accept or to act in accordance with a rule, act, or recommendation. Now, before we go any further, I just want to ask and say, when was the last time God gave you a word and you accepted it and acted in accordance to that word?
I look at this, Letitia, like lockdown. You know, I shared this on the show last night, but I believe it's so key. You can want... You can just be put on lockdown, okay? Like a lot of us were. And I'm really thinking a lot about the early days where they just announced, we're shutting down the country. Mm. And you in the house, you're there, you are listening, but you're listening because there's sanctions, okay? The soldiers have been deployed. We've never been in this situation before. You in your yard, it feels like the walls are closing in. At least that's how it felt like for me. So I listened, but it was not by choice.
Mm.
You get me? I was forced, and there was no other option. And for me, that is also a way where you're complying, but you're not in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you deciding to accept something.
It's like you're waiting under duress.
Yes.
Not like you're waiting in a place of rest.
Yes.
As we go into the topic today, I want you to think of something right now. Noah couldn't just listen to God's promise and say, oh, okay, fine, it will rain. He had to immediately act upon what he had heard.
Sure. That means he believed and he accepted and he started building.
He was acting in accordance to what God told him would happen, which we know took between 80 to 120 years. So how can we be more abidant, if that's even a word, in our waiting processes and in the times that it gets really hard?
Stay tuned. You're with the Vambillies. You're still with the Van Villies. It's the anniversary show. And we are talking about abiding versus just being patient and waiting on the Lord. I'm going to take this into scripture right now. This is in Acts 1 verse 3 to 5. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Obviously, we're talking about Jesus. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you guys to realize that this period took 40 days. This was 40 days where the disciples understood now that there's a Holy Spirit coming, and they had to abide and expect and wait for this thing. They were not allowed to leave Jerusalem before getting that gift. Now, what I've picked up with us as believers is sometimes we are being patient with God, right? But patience runs out. You know, you can be patient where you're like, you know, let's see what happens. Okay, I got the word. Now what? Yeah, okay, God said it. I don't have a choice. So I'm just waiting and I'm going to see. Versus actually being obedient, where you're like, whoa, God has spoken, like the God of the heavens and the earth has spoken a promise to me, and I am expecting this promise to happen. So in obedience, I'm moving. In obedience, I'm waiting. In obedience, my expectation has been determined versus, let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting to note is that we have scripture, Genesis 2:2, which says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had done doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, this is how I understand verse 2, that God rested from all his work. It means that we are not waiting for God to do anything. We as believers believe that the work has already been done. That's why he can promise it.
Yes.
That's why Jesus could say it is finished. Because there's certain things that God laid in the foundations of who you are and where you're supposed to be that he now comes and tells you. Jeremiah 29:11, he comes to tell you the plans he has for you because he has already implemented it. He has, as God, has rested from all the work. So when we are waiting for God, I would go as far as saying that it is God who waits for us.
Come on now.
Because there's an appointed time for things to come to pass when you align yourself with where you're supposed to be. If God has laid up treasures for you at the age of 38, you can scream and shout and do a rain dance as much as you want to. That thing will break through at the age of 38. There's nothing you can do to push the hand of God on a promise that he's given you, because it's like a board game. I think about it. I think about life with the Lord as like a blind maze. And when you're in that maze, you have to trust the voice of the Holy Spirit to say, turn left, turn right, two steps forward, two steps back. And at different points of the maze, there are treasures and there are bombs.
Yeah.
And if you turn on the wrong place, it will determine. God has laid for you treasures. These are scriptures. And it's a beautiful picture to see it in this manner, to say, you know what? I'm not waiting on God. God has rested about me. I have to walk in faith that in the appointed time, the right word will come to pass in my life.
The scripture you've pulled off, we also see it again in the book of Hebrews, where the picture that's painted is the rest happened after the laying of the foundations of the earth. And every single thing pertaining to our lives, every single promise God has already accomplished. So I agree with Letitia that God is actually waiting for you and I to align with Him. You know, we act like, yeah, I'm waiting for Him to do. But man, as your attitude, as your consonance, as everything within you believed so much that you're resting. Now, this is where a lot of us get it wrong. We like, we going to somehow get involved. Guys, when we come back, we're going to look at how helping God makes things worse. You can't help someone who's resting. If he's resting and you moving, guess who is out of line? It's you. Isn't it you?
Featuring Von Smith with Joy to the World.
And to those of you who don't know, Letitia can sing, hey?
Ooh. Oh, no.
Mama can sing.
Says every loving parent, and we end up on idols. on the gold. No, what the wooden mic?
Wooden,
not mic. The golden mic.
Well, I don't know about you, Letitia, okay? But my wife, Letitia Van Billy, you know, was like in international choirs. She was singing in the worship team in France. So, yeah, let me just talk about my wife.
These must be the anniversary compliments. Speaking of which, we've got another message from Fallon saying, happy, happiest anniversary, L&DV, numbers 624, many more, and happiest, healthy, wealthy returns. I actually went to numbers 624 because I wanted to, you know, read it for myself and take it for myself. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
Yourself as well. So, Danny, before the break, you were talking about what it looks like when we try to help God in the promises that He gives us.
You know, I think that when I look at Sarah and Hagar, you see a problem that was started because someone could not wait. You know, someone decided, look, I'm old, so what are we going to do? There's my maid over there. Now, we've heard this over and over in church. We've judged Sarah. We've judged even Hagar. But how many times do we, because we've not accepted from within us that God can actually do this, that we've made our own plans?
Yeah.
You know, if my life was written in the Bible, oh, Jesus, I don't know what was going to happen.
Yep. And we see Sarah in Genesis 18, 11 to 14. She is talking to God about the impossibility of what it is that He's asked her to do. Now, talk about how many times we face impossibilities with what God has asked us to do, where we feel like, Lord, I know You said what You said, but given my context, how on earth? And what's interesting is that's what discourages us, because we look at our circumstance instead of looking at our God. And it's a completely natural human thing to do. And that's why we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. But I want to read what Sarah very honestly and earnestly told the Lord in Genesis 18, 11 to 14. She says, let me start at 12. She says, so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out, and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Verse 13, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. And Sarah will have a son. So we see a few things in the scripture. We see Sarah giving God the impossibility of His own word. And it sounds fine when you're reading it in scripture. It sounds fine when you're reading it in Genesis. But we do that all the time. God comes to you and says, I want to do this for you. And you're like, me, how? Me who grew up without parents. Me who looks like this. Me who speaks like this. Me who, you know, years ago, when the Lord would speak about prophetic words around media, I understood it for Danny. Like when we would get prophetic words as a couple to say that we would be working in media, I thought I would be supporting Danny in media, because between the two of us,
imagine you've got this wise woman just did not want to.
Actually, when we were engaged, I didn't speak, right? And that was one of your pet peeves with me. I didn't speak at all. So I would see a car accident coming, like we're about to get into a car accident. And I'll just keep quiet. And then when we almost get into the car accident, I'll say to D, yep, I saw that coming. And he'll be like, woman, why didn't you say anything?
Open thy mouth.
That was the degree to which I didn't speak. And then one day, Danny said to me, Tish, I'm going to put you on platform because people need to hear your voice. And I looked at him like, nobody needs to hear my voice, bruh. Like, just stop it. It was so annoying.
I'll never forget. We actually had such a cool coming together. For those of you who listen to Christian hip hop, we were hanging out with the guys from God Over Money, Bizzle and Lavoisier, and they'd come in from America and were touring. So I show up with this girl called Letitia. That time she was Letitia Pambu. And I'll never forget one of the guys in the group, Lavoisier, when we were just engaging Letitia and we're talking about a certain topic, he just looked at me like, dude, where did you find this wise woman? Like, why are you guys not an item? At that time, we were not an item. I just thought you were so smart.
No, we were not an item because I've known you since I was 6 years old. Like, and I think I've said this on the show before. We had brother-zoned, sister-zoned each other. So we're going to these conferences and I'm not even there. And neither are you.
Neither of us. We're not thinking this. But that wisdom. Ooh, that wisdom. I was like, Lord, do I need to re-see something?
So imagine today, now that we're on radio and we're on air, it sounds so natural to everybody listening, but we would have arguments, guys. When I'm talking arguments, I'm talking ugly fights in our house because I wouldn't speak. And Danny would be like, but Tish, this is something the Lord has called you to do, to be on platform, to have a voice. And I would say to the Lord, there is no way this prophetic word is for me because I'm such an introvert. And I understand Sarah in that regard.
This is why when Portia is saying, I like how professional you are, you both don't sound like husband and wife. Portia, we had to fight.
We had to fight.
So we're taking this to say to you, what is it that God has told you about you
that you're
looking at and you don't believe? Can you hear Letitia right now? Can you imagine that she doubted that this is something God could ever use her in? You know, so 071-364-0376. What has God told you about you that you doubting? That we actually, I believe in this show, we're going to pray for everyone. You know, especially those of you who are doubting your areas of calling. We need to pray because look what Letitia was going to rob us.
Oh no, not me being the case.
You were going to rob us, Lady V. We are arresting you. If you are voting for her to be arrested, let me know. Just say arrest. You with the Vampillies, and Trevor said, arrest her, Mr. V. Trevor, I am sentencing her to life with Danny Vampilly.
We have another message that just came in, an anniversary message that says, happy anniversary, guys. The blue, right? Happy anniversary, guys. I just love you guys, God-fearing, God-loving couple, very inspiring, stay blessed. Thank you so much for your message. It's by only the grace of God, as you hear him asking people to arrest me, because I wouldn't believe the words that God was giving me, particularly about media, but I won't lie. This is a general struggle as a human being on my side. Speaking of the general struggle of abiding and believing in the word that God has given us, let's go to John 15 verses 4 to 18, a beloved scripture again that we're just going to look at in a different light. Verse 4 says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, before I go to verse 5, I think the use of the word remain brings to mind what we're talking about when we say abide versus wait. Mm. It would sound very different if the scripture said, wait in me as I also wait in you. But the usage of the word remain, and I'm reading the NIV, remain in me. That means do not move. No matter what happens, stay in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. You know, a lot of the times when we're waiting on the Lord, we get weary because we forget to remain. What I mean by that is the Israelites could have remained in the Lord and finished their trip in 11 days. But because of the weariness in waiting, it ended up being 40 years. So there's a difference to say there is a manner in which we wait. You spoke about lockdown, about how lockdown was for you, how it was challenging. Guys, I wish I could project, I could connect you to my phone and show you what happened to Danny on day one of lockdown.
Just so day one.
If you know anything about us personally, we're infamously known for being introvert, extrovert to the polar extents. So when lockdown was coming, I was ecstatic. I was like, you mean no people? You mean I get to stay in my house and not have to see people? That's great. And it's not to say I don't like people. No, I love people, but I love my own company even more.
She is about her personal
space. Personal space, boundaries. You know, I was excited to spend time with the children and to not be so busy and spend time with each other. Look at this man that I'm so excited to spend time with. Guys, Danny was on the floor of our bedroom because he was stressed about being locked in.
I could feel the border of the
country closing.
I could feel the province shutting down. I could feel the state gate, the gate of our house, the bedroom door.
So when he sat on the floor and he was having like a depressive mode, I'm so sorry, it was hilarious. So I grabbed my phone and I'm recording
her.
This guy on video and I'm like, Danny, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm not okay. I don't know what's going on. So I have video evidence. And after this, he took us for a drive. And this drive lasted forever, guys. And he was saying, do we grab our passports? Do we go to the border? I'm like, Danny, what are we doing at the border? He said, the world is shutting down tomorrow and I don't know what to do. So that example that he gave and how his waiting was so arduous, it was so hard. I think it's a beautiful picture of how we can wait in the Lord. We can wait in a manner that isn't necessarily to remain. Because that season was so uncertain, like to your defense, it was so uncertain. We didn't know where we were going, what was going to happen. And it was so scary. So it was hard to remain. And I'm using this example to say that it is hard to remain. It is hard to wait with the right posture when you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
But unlike our world systems and our governments, we can actually trust our God. We can actually trust that God will come through for us. And what happens when we wait arduously is we disconnect from the vine.
Yes.
We start doing things like thinking, okay, God, if you said you're going to do it, you're going to do it. I'm not involved in it anymore. I'm tired. But at the point that you're like, you know, God, I want nothing to do with this anymore, that's you disconnecting from the vine. Be waiting where you are supposed to wait. Certain things must fall into place in order for the word of God to come to pass. And unfortunately, when fear and sadness and disappointment become bedfellows with us, we walk away from the God that made the promise. But when you walk away from the vine, it can no longer feed you. And so many of us have withered in places where we feel God is no longer going to do what he said he would do.
So the challenge today, or the main question is, are you abiding? Do you still believe that the same God who spoke to you is able to do what he said he can do? And if you do, then you know what? You should be resting.
This is Music to Live By on Impact 103.
Wow. Letitia, doesn't it just feel so new?
It does feel new. All these 9 years later, it still feels so new. We've just entered into the second hour of our show, and we're talking about abiding in the Lord rather than waiting in Him. And earlier, we just read John 15, verse 4 to 8, that said, remaining with the vine so that you can see your fruit come to fruition. Now, this analogy of the vine and the branches and the fruit and growth is so powerful to me, because whenever we speak about a word, we refer to the word as a seed. So if the word is a seed that will then be planted, watered, and then grow into the vine and the branches that are spoken about in the book of John, then it's the word that must be guarded jealously. When you get that seed, when you get that word, guard it with all you have from all the weeds and all the tares that can come to steal that word away from you. The discouragements of life, the disappointments and the really bad things that can happen are some of the things that can steal that word and make you feel like, you know what, maybe this thing might not come to pass. A good example of what we're talking about can be seen in Matthew 3 to 10. I'm quickly going to read it so we have a visual. It says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the paths, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. But then the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So I want to give the four places where it fell. So some seed fell along the path, other seed fell in rocky places, and some seed fell where it was shallow, or the ground was shallow, and other seed fell on good soil. So when the word is given to you, it can fall in places that do not tend to the word, that do not care for the word, that do not protect the word. Whereas if the word of God falls on good soil, you can actually reap more than the promise that was in the word. And I link that to the scripture where the Lord says that if you stay in Him, and I'm very much paraphrasing, that He will give you these things and more. So in the word of the Lord, there's evidence that says you can receive more than the initial word. Some of these rocky paths and these shallow places can also be people coming to tell you, no, I waited on the Lord in that thing and it didn't work. I think what's dangerous about hearing people's discouraging testimonies is that just because their word fell on rocky ground doesn't mean your word has fallen on rocky ground.
You know, this is so important for me, because what I found is from day one, especially even when you're getting married, you know, you have all the people with bad experiences coming to you and telling you,
don't get me started.
Don't be hopeful. Don't expect good. Just know that it's going to go bad. And, you know, it's almost like you're not even prepared to face your own challenges, because those who gave up or had a certain outcome already rush to come and discourage you and put your expectation to a place that's not conducive for you facing anything. Literally, there's almost like an expectation that you should give up before you even put up a fight.
Yeah.
And this is also the same when you go into areas like business. Now, I want to share a quick testimony. There's a time when we started a business and it was growing, and we now needed business premises. And the Lord told me, do not go and look for one. That was probably the scariest thing ever, because we were at that time expecting a child, and we knew on the day, which day my wife was due for an operation, and we knew on that day it's most likely that the child will come out. Now, I knew the date of the operation, and I knew that by that day, we can't have the business operating from home. But at the same time, the Lord told me, do not look for a place. Trust me and wait for me. Now, I'm talking to the husbands now. Can you just imagine that situation where a child is coming, you're supposed to move a business, but you're told don't do anything. And I'll never forget the day before the operation. We still didn't have a place, but there was a place the Lord told us to go look at. And we were going to look at this place on the way
to the operation.
The operation at the hospital. Now, what ended up happening is we met a gentleman there. I'll name him Manas. Where not only did we all agree, but during the operation, he actually called me and said, listen, the Lord has told me this is your place. And if I have to pay for you to move into my place, I'll pay for it myself. But the waiting, the abiding, the trusting God so much that you don't make your plan B was extremely difficult, but rewarding.
I need to give you a visual of what Danny is saying. So what ended up happening is we go to the hospital for this operation and I end up in labor. Okay, so I wasn't full term, but I was almost there. I end up in labor. And so Manas is sending Danny the contract while I'm in labor. So I'm now there wincing in pain on the doctor's bed. And Danny pops his head and says, the contract says this. What do we sign here? And I'm like, So what ended up happening is we signed the contract for the business property while I was essentially giving birth to my son.
It wasn't even a contract. We were just agreeing verbally.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I think we spent about 4 years there or something like that. And the couple that said the Lord gave them this word is Manas and Eva, who we're still so fond of today. We thank you so much for just being so faithful in listening to what the Lord had said. Listen, it takes a little bit of madness to have some faith.
Madness and faith. It's 12:15. You with the Vambillies. X Frequency, solid ground.
Are reading some of your messages. This is that hour, 071-364-0376. Normava was just praising the Lord, saying, wow, praise him alone. And then the other stuff I couldn't really read, but I know what you're trying to say, sis. Thank you so much. In fact, indeed, praise him alone. It takes a lot of madness to have faith, which Sandra just messaged to us. She said, I like that, madness and faith. I personally think it goes hand in hand, because you have to go against what anyone thinks is natural or normal and do what the Lord has called you to do. And when we look at people like Gideon, listen, this is a bunch of madness. We look at King David in a cave being told he's going to be king. I don't know. You look like you're kind of poor right now to be king one day. It's important to be expectant for what the Lord has promised. I'm going to read Isaiah 40 verse 31. This is in the NIV. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, sometimes in the walk with God, it feels as if we expect more from ourselves than God expects from us. Even when you end up in a situation where your faith is weary or you're tired, what this scripture says to me, Isaiah 40 verse 31, is that God has made provision that at some point in the waiting, we do grow faint. At some point in the waiting, we do get tired. But this is what his word tells us to do. He says, if you hope in the Lord, your strength will be renewed. Now, I'm reading in the NIV. If you have other versions, it will say other things. And other versions say, by those who wait upon the Lord, those who remain in the Lord, those who abide in the Lord. And that's why we're bringing this aspect this afternoon, that's speaking about not moving from where God has placed you, because it's in that place of waiting where you get your strength. If at any point you move and you say, God, this is not working for me, then you abdicate, as Isaiah 40:31. Your strength is renewed when you wait upon the Lord. The next thing that says, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. That means that you're unable to run and not grow weary if you're not in the Lord. So if you're not in the Lord, your running will be tiresome. The next bit says, they will walk and not be faint. Now, I had a season where I was talking to the Lord about a biblical dictionary to say, and Joseph Prince says this a lot. He says, the Bible interprets the Bible. And I love when he says that, because there's no amount of cross-referencing in any existing scripture in this world that's more than what's in the Bible. The Bible constantly cross-references itself. And this is what the word says about fainting. So Isaiah 40:31 says, they will walk and not faint. But if you follow me to Luke 18:1, it says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And what that said to me about Isaiah 40:31 is that in order to walk and not faint, we have to remain in prayer.
A lot of us have fainted. A lot of us, we're there, we believe in you. You're a Christian, you go to church, but man, you are tired. You've seen flames. 0713640376. If you've seen flames, if you have gone through some stuff that made you worry, just WhatsApp me flames. I just want to see how many people will actually send just flames, okay? As in, this journey is not without problems. It's not without setbacks. It's not without losing people. It's not without separation. It's not without some promises not coming to pass. But the difference maker is abiding. The ability to just go back and say, you know what, I'm not moving from what the Lord has said. This reminds me, actually, I'm going to share a lot of testimonies today, right? When we got married and our first year, the Lord told us to not really work. And we were waiting. I see Peter and
Maggie, flames.
Flames are coming in. If there's anyone else who experienced flames, send us. We want to agree and know that we're not just talking ourselves. But our first year of marriage, the Lord told us to live absolutely by faith. You know, the money we made in the month was literally so little. It wasn't even enough for our groceries or even petrol. So we had to trust God and live by faith. Now, the Lord told me that year that for our first anniversary, we're going to go out of the country and we're going on holiday. Now, I'll never forget my friends at that time. They actually had jobs, you know, and they were planning their holidays and they kept asking me, where are you guys going? And I kept saying, no, we're going out of the country. You know, and they knew, like, dude, this dude does not have money. How is he saying they're going out of the country? To cut a long story short, the week before the holiday, God blessed us with this place that in Vicksburg, and they had like this big sale, and we could go there for like 900 rand.
Yeah.
For a 3-night stay with breakfast included. But to make it even better, it was right next to the border of Lesotho. And while I saw we're going to the border, I called a friend of mine who was supposed to be in America because she'd relocated to America, Miriam Knight. And she told me, no, I'm actually in Lesotho. And when I told her where we're going, it happened to be like 30 minutes away
from the border,
from where they go, where she was on the other side of the border. To cut a long story short, we ended up having the most amazing holiday, and we went to Lesotho as well. And Even where we went, the lady, I think her place had just burnt down.
And yeah.
We didn't know, but the Lord told us to take a blanket and he'll show us who to give it to. And when we saw her, we knew it was her and we gave it to her, which in turn, she then gave us extra days to stay at the place where we went. So by faith, we went on holiday. By faith, the days were extended through a blanket. By faith, we left the country. You know, by faith, we ended up in Clarence without a budget, guys. Man, for all of you seeing flames, do not give up on what the Lord has says. Something better. Woo! All the people standing with us, acknowledging the flames. Peter, Marky, Julia, Tilly, Carabo, Mary and Sandra. Mary also added on her message, happy blessed anniversary. You are an inspiration. I'm loving how all of you just decided, you know, without talking to each other, to just send that flames emoji.
We're an emoji generation. Ooh. We're cool like that.
Y'all are so cool.
Message received.
But we agree that that is it. There is flames involved in this journey. And a lot of us are just embracing the flames. We know there's a fourth man who needs to enter this fire. And then also, all the way from the UK, happy wedding anniversary, Lady V and Daddy V from Alice. Beloved, we are here. We are moving. Letitia, what are you saying to us?
I'm saying it is all faith. Just believe what God has told you to believe, even though you are seeing a bunch of flame emojis. You know, even Hagar, we tend to talk about her not positively in the Word of God, but even Hagar could not leave where she was supposed to be. She had to wait in a specific place. Genesis 16:8-10 says, "And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. You know, the righteousness of our God is just sometimes foolishness to the eyes of man. You would think Hagar's wrong. She got a big head after she received the blessing from Sarai. Why does she deserve anything? You know, but God is so immeasurable. You cannot figure him out. He actually, in the moment that Hagar ran away, and rightfully so, because she was being abused. That's what the word, you know, is showing us. The angel still said to her, the person in the supposed wrong, if you wait where you're supposed to wait, if you wait in the hard place, I will increase your descendants. What? So there's a specific place we wait. We don't just wait without consulting how we wait or where we wait. It doesn't have to make sense, but it definitely has to make God. When God gives a word, we accept the decision and we walk in it. And what I mean by that is that if God calls you a queen, you walk like that now.
Yes.
If God calls you a king, you walk like that now. You don't wait for the word to come to pass before you accept it for yourself. And we made the example of Noah early on in the show, where we said Noah did not have the luxury of being like, sharp, cool, I heard you, it's going to rain, we are fine. You know, Noah had to immediately walk in the word that he was given because he had to start to build the ark. So in that sense, what's your ark? Because remember, it took 80 to 120 years for the actual word to come to pass. But when we talk about abiding in the Lord and being where you're supposed to be as you wait, listen, it wouldn't have mattered if Noah went to his village back home and said, you know, this word is stressful. Let me think about it for 100 years. He would have died, even though the word was given to him. There's a place and a way that we wait. And my question to you this afternoon is, what is your ark As you wait for the Lord, do we wait idly? Or is there something we're supposed to be doing or a place we're supposed to be being so that when the word comes to pass, we're actually ready to sail?
I'll never forget when we spoke earlier about just the birthing of one of our children. We once found ourselves in a situation where our child was born early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're expecting this child in April. The child came in February. But the Lord said to us, while the child was in ICU, right? We've not yet held the child. You know, we've only seen the child through the glass. And if you've ever had a child in ICU, you know how hectic that is. But the Lord told us, there's nothing wrong with your child. Take your child home. And man, yo, if you can think of this, you've only seen this child through a glass. There's all these things. You need to sign documents that says you are refusing medical care because the Lord has told you to do so by faith. And then we had a confirmation come in again from someone who didn't know anything about the situation. And then even the nurses, there was a nurse we had helped a few months ago. We were all strangers. We met at a course somewhere. We gave her a word that she was going to get married. We even told her that my wife's wedding dress
was available
for her. She told us there's no way. We don't have money and all of that. To cut things short, within a month, she and her husband were getting married. There was provision for it. The same nurse ended up being there when our child was being born. And while the doctor was trying to keep our child in ICU, that nurse came to us and said to us, the Lord has said I should tell you to take your child home. We immediately gave the word to the doctor that we're taking our child home. That child is healthy today. She's 7 years old. In fact, when we took her home from that day, we saw a specialist the next day who confirmed that there was nothing wrong with the child and no reason to keep the child in. But we had to take the child out before we saw the specialist.
Yeah.
By faith, we took the child out of ICU. So I'm saying this, guys, we're not talking journeys that we've not walked. We've had to trust the Lord. And no matter where you are, no matter what it looks like, medically, financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, choose to trust God in your flames. Invite God to be that fourth man in your fire. If you're seeing flames and you've not sent us that fire emoji, you better send it, yo.
Now is the time to come alive on Impact 103.
We just had that wonderful song that was saying, deeper, I want to go deeper with the Lord. Loved it. We were really vibing to it inside the studio.
Wow. So we are talking about getting deeper, but even more, I really want us to know that it is a fight. It is a fight to rest in God. It's not something that just happens. Hebrews 4 verse 11 tells us, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of disobedience. You know, there is a disobedience that leads to you never entering the land of promise. There is a complaining spirit, a spirit of always forgetting what God has done for you. Guys, we are human, okay? And our humanity needs a whip. If there was a way to whip your humanity every time. Man, if you know what I'm saying, I just send the flames.
Well, thank God Danny's not God. All this whipping.
Yo, I would just install an automatic whip in us.
Oh, no.
And give you a button where you just press it and goes, it just whips you. Why? We tend to go back. We tend to forget. God can provide for you today, and tomorrow a problem arises and you forget what he did for you today. Now, the Vambilis are not a special breed.
Ooh.
No. We are constantly having to tell each other, remember what he did last time.
Yeah.
We can't doubt again. And again, we find ourselves having to tell ourselves to not doubt.
Yeah.
So if you are in the position right now where you're being faced with doubt and you're being faced with situations that seem impossible, we want to say to you, remember the last time God came through. Remember the last time. And don't forget the last time. Don't forget today when tomorrow you're facing a new challenge, because that's what we are as humans. The children of Israel are the best picture of how we are. So what is the thing? What is the way forward? It's to fight to rest. Maybe in the spirit of encouraging you to fight to rest, I'll share one more testimony. And on this anniversary show, you know, there's really a time in our lives when, and I think we shared this maybe in the beginning of the year, where God told us he was going to bless us with a car. And we'll never forget that season, because there was suddenly an offer to get us a car, but it involved going through a bank. And in this season, so I'm not saying it's bad to buy a car through the bank. I'm just saying in this season, for us, the Lord told us he will bless us. And we, at that time, were taken to a shop and someone wanted to buy us a car. Someone who loves us dearly. But the Lord told us to turn it down. Why? Because he wanted us to trust him.
Wait, context. I was 6 months pregnant.
Oh, that part.
And I was taking taxis.
Oh, that part.
And this is the pregnancy where the child would come out premature. And it was my first pregnancy. And I was in a lot of pain. Unbeknownst to me, I was in pain because the baby was under duress. And it's like a 2.5 kilometer walk at that time. It was our second year of marriage between the gates and our house. So what we would do, because I was in so much pain, when I'd come back from school, at that time I was tutoring and studying, Danny, you would wait for me at a bench halfway just so you could carry my bags, because I was in so much pain. And I would sometimes take two taxis to get to school and then walk on campus. So when the Lord was saying, turn down this offer, your flames,
you know, when you're feeling the flames and you're the husband of a new wife and, you know, here's the shortcut, just take the car, but waiting on the Lord led to us being given a fully paid for car by a stranger.
A whole stranger.
A fully paid for car. The stranger came to us and said, listen, I don't know you guys. Yes, we'd met once before, but here's a box, keys, a fully paid for Polo. And guys, it was such a blessing, but it required us waiting. It required us enduring hardship, a hard situation. So if you are facing hardship right now, don't just tell yourself, hey, you know what? I'm going to give up because it's hard. No. You are going to wait on God, and you're going to do it cheerfully, expecting that God will come through for you.
And you know what's shocking? We actually waited longer than what God had provisioned, because when this lady came to give us the car, she said to us that she was meant to give us the car 3 months ago. And at that point, I was 3 months pregnant. But the reason she didn't is because she thought we would think she was insane.
Yeah.
Listen, faith and insanity. We're here today. We're on this table. Make sure you're sending us your messages on 071-364-0376.
King D Music, Freedom.
Turn on Impact Family. You know, when you were speaking about how you told people that you were going overseas, it just reminded me of how I would send an application to a certain organization, a job application, and I would start telling people that I actually work there. And this has actually happened 3 times, literally. So I would take my application and I would feel it so strongly in my spirit that I'm going to get this position. I'll have so much faith. And I'll start telling people that I work there. I'll even create an email address in my head with my name and the company's name. And I can tell you now that it has actually happened 3 times that I've actually got appointed at those positions, because I exercise my faith and I believe in God that this is going to pass and it shall it shall be so. And I'm saying this right now that there is a job application that I have actually, there's a job that I've applied for, and I'm confident and I'm trusting God so much that I believe it already in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, and in my soul that I'm going to work for that organization next year, and it shall be so.
Follow us on our social media platforms at Impact 103.
Hi guys, this is Trevor. I just want to say I always thank you for your shows, but today I think it's something special, you know. The book of Revelation says you overcame the enemy by the word of your testimony. And we was hearing your testimony for the first time, maybe some of us, can think beyond the box. And that is very encouraging. I'm just hearing things that I never thought. I've thought about it, but yeah, you're saying somebody's given you a vehicle and even renting space where this guy pays. That is testimony that's opening our minds to what God can do. And thank you for that. Thank you also that you're sharing your anniversary with us. Enjoy your day. Bye.
No, thank you, Trevor, for sharing our anniversary with us and for sending through your messages. You know, it's so important. Our anniversary has always been something very special for us. And, you know, I would like to speak to all the married couples. You know, in the years that we've done counseling and ministry, one of our biggest shockers is that married couples would forget their anniversaries, where one or both people forget the anniversary. I want to say something just to awaken you to the truth of your reality, is that if you've seen God in any way throughout your marriage, please celebrate the day that God consummated you guys as husband and wife. One of our biggest testimonies is that there was so much, I mean, a standard rose up against us getting married, to the point that on the 5th of December 2014, we were canceling the wedding.
We're at the bank,
and the caterer said that, you know, she needed a certain amount. And guys, we just didn't have this money. And we had the venue, we had everything else, but we didn't have the decor and catering because there just wasn't enough funds.
Because our caterer, who was originally meant to do the wedding, ended up having his dad ill.
Yes.
And
couldn't be there.
He left the province. And suddenly our wedding budget grew by close to 50,000.
And so we're just this young couple who just have this bill on our hands, and it's 6 o'clock at night. Everybody has gotten the invitations, and we're looking at each other saying, do we message everybody that the wedding has been canceled? And you know, God being God, in the moment waiting at the bank, we had someone just send us a deposit, and we immediately sent it to the caterer. So on our wedding day, it was such a surreal experience for me, Danny. I don't know about you, but when I look at the pictures, it's almost like I wasn't there, because we were just so shocked that we actually got married. I remember at the aisle, or on the pulpit, on the altar, when I was looking at you and you were looking at me, we had this look like, brah, we did it. We're actually here. It's actually happening. So I had this joke with Danny. I said to him, leading up to the wedding, I said, dude, if you don't cry when I walk down the aisle, I'm turning around and I'm going back. I'm going back in my room. And you know, this was funny now, because how could you cry? Guys, we were so happy. We were like, it's actually happening. There wasn't a tear with either of us, because we were just so grateful that the Lord had done this thing. And every single year since then, on the 6th of December, the reason it's important for us to celebrate is because even in that year of our marriage, if we've had the worst year, and we think that this is just a terrible year, we feel like the 6th of December is the day that we honor God and we commemorate what He did for us on that day. And that's just an encouragement for those of you that have been married. No matter how long you've been married, your wedding day is a testament of God's goodness. And in the same way that His children had feasts to commemorate and remember Him, we encourage you to do the same. And we thank you so much for spending time with us today on our anniversary episode.
The Vambellis signing out. We love you. And we're playing out with Hillsong Young and Free. Thank you for all your messages, all your blessings. And may God continue to richly bless you.